Hey, this is David Arquette, and I'm hanging with the fat guys at the movies.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies on this April 20th, 2007. Kevin, you know what that means?
No.
No?
No, what does that mean?
It means there's only 2 weeks till Spider-Man.
Ooh, 2 weeks till Spider-Man.
It also means that it's 420, so for all of our listeners out there, do what you gotta do.
I don't know anything about that. What do you mean by 420?
No, I don't know either. I have a natural case of the munchies,
yes,
so.
I don't know. That's the last thing I need is something that's going to make me even more munchy.
Exactly. Well, joining us today, once again, is Brian Gibson, Associate Editor here at FilmSchoolRejects.com. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
All right, and more from Brian later. But the first thing we're going to do is we're going to, I have a public announcements to make, like I do every show.
Is this a mea culpa for last week's, lapse in memory?
The debacle. I would like to offer a formal apology to Josh, over at Veercast. He is the one that I forgot last week.
And the other guys whose names escape us right now.
Adam and Tim, all at Veercast, they didn't post a show, so I'm not going to give them too much of a hard time this week. Apparently there's malaria going around.
Whatever.
The guys at Veercast. But some ways that you can get in touch with the fat guys of the movies. The first one is email. That's one of our favorites because it's easy, because we read well.
Because we're lazy. We sit on the couch in my underwear. This is all done. I'm in my underwear right now.
Yes, you can you can reach us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can also now reach us via voicemail at the Film School Rejects hotline, which is area code 614-388-8735. Long distance charges may apply, so
call us and tell us what morons we are.
Yes, and we also have a new web address.
That girl who flamed me about my Crash review, give me a call on the hotline.
Oh yeah, let's do that. And you know, maybe one of these days we'll call one of our readers.
Yeah,
and have them on the show.
If they're stupid enough to leave their phone number.
But you can also reach us at www.fatguysatthemovies.com, and that will direct you to our page. Please also, while you're on the page, hook us up on dig.com and Podcast Alley. Give us a vote. Tell people you like us so that more people listen, so that you're not alone as listeners.
And we're not alone.
Yes, and that we're not alone.
So what do we got this week? You heard earlier in the intro, David Arquette giving us a nice shout out.
Yeah, we're going to talk about The Tripper this week.
That's
a
right.
little bit.
Opens on 420 for, I don't know exactly why.
Not sure, but the tagline was, on 420, hippie blood will flow, roll, whatever.
I don't remember exactly.
All I know is a bunch of pot-smoking hippies get killed. So it's always fun. But we're gonna start off with
movie reviews.
A few movie reviews. The first one being In the Land of Women.
In the Land of Women. We got a little clip here. Let's hear it.
I just want to get out of L.A. for a while and get away from my life.
Hi, Grandma. I can't believe I'm still alive.
Hello. I made some cookies.
They look a little bit like Fig Newtons.
I didn't so much as make them as wrap them in plastic and put them on the plate. He's basically alone over there. Just take him to a movie.
Do you have any idea how lame that would sound?
Hey, how you doing?
Just regrouping. I want to hear about the football games. Why don't you tell me about, like, the garage bands and prom nights. John Hughes stuff.
Who?
I am very old.
John Hughes. Do you remember John Hughes? Because you're a hell of a lot younger than I am.
I do. He made movies before I was born.
Yeah, he made those movies, you know, that that galvanized a generation that's not yours.
Exactly. That is yours.
That is mine. I was a huge John Hughes fan. Breakfast Club, you know, Pretty in Pink.
I liked them all on DVD.
You know, this is way before the Curly Sue days.
What was that, Brian?
Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck was huge.
Oh, gosh. We had a word from our special guest. You're not supposed to talk. Get back in your cage.
Silence down there.
Get back in your cage.
Anyway, so you saw this one, Kevin.
Yes, I did.
I was very excited about it because I'm one of the very few people in this world that can stomach Adam Brody for 2 hours. But you actually had to go through and do it.
I did
what'd
stomach.
What'd you think of this one?
I did stomach Adam Brody for 2 hours. You know, this isn't my cup of tea, I have to say. It's sort of that sort of light dramedy-ish type thing that you might find in... Do you remember The Upside of Anger? That kind of flavor where... Yeah. You know, and it deals a certain, you know, serious issues, like cancer and death, but really? Yeah, in sort of a lighthearted way.
How about boobs?
No boobs in this movie. Okay. I'm sorry. Never you know, mind. I mean, well, no, it's about boobs because Meg Ryan, I think, has breast cancer in it.
That's not the kind of boobs.
That's not the kind of boobs that doesn't improve a movie.
No,
it does not improve the movie. But you know, what's interesting about the movie, what I found more fascinating than the plot was the fact that kind of like between Meg Ryan's eyes and her upper lip, nothing moved because she's like so Botoxed out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was okay. I mean, I guess, you know, for a chick flick, maybe. Yeah. It just, like I said, it wasn't my cup of tea. And Adam Brody was in. Kristen Stewart's good. I think she's a good actress, and I think she's one to watch. But she wasn't enough to really pull the movie out of the doldrums.
Well, that's still not going to detract me from going to see it.
That's going to be the kind of sucks for me. Okay, it's also one of those things, he goes to back to Michigan, and he's across the street from Meg Ryan and Kristen Stewart, and he kind of strikes up a relationship with both of them, and he's like broken up with his model girlfriend. It's sort of like the Ross and Rachel thing. It's hard to feel sympathy for this kid.
Right, yeah.
When he's like...
being chased down by every hot woman on
Earth. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, yeah, wham-ba-hoo.
I feel sympathy for him.
That's my, and so it's a kind of sucks for me.
All right. Let's move on a little bit. We got, what are we doing next?
Fracture.
Anthony Hopkins. We all saw this one.
So. Comes back as a bad guy.
Excellent.
97% conviction rate. Impressive.
And I just don't like to lose.
I love you.
I know.
Does he?
Shots fired.
Hostage situation.
Your wife, is she here?
I shot her.
You shot your wife?
I got the gun. I shot her in the head.
All right. I'm from the district attorney's office.
You look closely enough, you'll find everything has a weak spot where it can break. Sooner or later.
You're looking for mine.
I've already found yours.
Oh, my goodness. You know, Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yeah.
As a bad guy, Anthony yet Hopkins. Again. Josh, I'm Ryan Gosling as Matthew McConaughey as the prosecutor. In the movie. Brian, what did you think of this? Come out of your cage and speak to us.
Thank you. I think, you know, that quote from the trailer is perfect. Everything has a weak spot where it can break, and that says a lot for the film.
How many weak spots were in the film?
You know what? At least a half a dozen.
Really?
Ooh, yeah.
So you really didn't like it.
I really didn't like it. The only thing I could say positive about the film was Anthony Hopkins and Ryan Gosling, and... that got me really pumped, but when it came time to watch the movie, I was sorely disappointed.
Okay, Neil, what did no boobs? What did you think? No boobs, Neil. About
no,
this
no,
movie?
No boobs. But you got me off my train of thought here. But really, with this film, I'm in the same boat as Brian. There's a lot of flaws to it. The story just was very dragged out, and Anthony Hopkins is one of my favorite actors of all time. He is fantastic, and he's very good, especially when he plays kind of a creep, which he does in this film. They took this great performance and this great character and stuck him in the middle of a bad movie that plays out like part of the story is they're trying to find the actual gun that he used to shoot his wife, and it turns into this hour long where's the gun thing, and there's, you know, less payoff than midget porn.
I'm kind of Egypt porn. Is that what you said?
Midget porn. Yeah,
midget Egypt porn.
I don't know. I'm more familiar than you.
I've never partaken. But anyways, my feeling on Fracture was, yeah, I thought Anthony Hopkins was great in it, and I found myself rooting for him. I don't like Ryan Gosling anyways, and his Matthew McConaughey-esque performance, which just I thought he was
okay.
Yeah, he was doing all of his tics, he's twitching around and acting overly. He was covering his acting, which I didn't like. And okay. I wasn't a huge fan of Ryan Gosling in the movie. I rooted for Anthony Hopkins, so.
Yeah, and that's never good when you're rooting for the bad guy.
I was rooting for the bad guy. I'm like, you know, get the OJ verdict, kill your wife, get away with it. That's what I wanted out of this film. So
yeah.
I'm going to give it up. But it wasn't absolutely awful. It was kind of okay for the oh crap crowd.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It was a kind
of another
sucks
one
for me.
Of those. I'm going to go kind of sucks as well, Brad.
Sucks.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's powerful.
Well, we're going to jump out of here and come back, and we're going to get other reviews of the two big movies opening this weekend, and later we're going to have an interview with David Arquette.
Awesome.
And here we are. We're back with Fat Guys at the Movies. You know, Neil, I have found, you know, I'm married. I've got a wife, and we want to, like, occasionally go out and have some fun and have a weekend away from the kids.
Oh, wow.
So I found this phone number for this motel that I wanted to check out. So I was going to give it a call. So let's hear what kind of place this is.
Hello. Thanks for calling. Please press 1 to make reservations at the Pinewood Motel.
Hey, folks, you've reached the Pinewood Motel. Sure glad you called, because we got a room with a killer view just for you. Please press 1 to hear our special offer. Press 2 for reservations. Press 0 for an operator. You're in luck. We're slashing our prices on the honeymoon suite through the end of the month. $69 a pop, you can't beat it. The room's up to snuff with the latest in comfort and in-room entertainment. Included, you'll find a fancy TV, state-of-the-art VCR, king-size bed, and a very nice bathroom. After we're through with you, you'll feel like a movie star. Press 2 to make a reservation now, or press 0 for the operator. You've reached the front desk of the Pinewood Motel. I am currently tied up with another guest, but your call sure does mean a lot to me. Enter your phone number, then press pound to have me paged. Or if you need immediate assistance, visit us at 1-888-9-VACANCY.com.
Jeez, oh man, Kevin, where are you going on vacation, man?
Well, it's just the Pinewood Motel. I saw it written in a bathroom somewhere.
Okay, well,
yeah. No, I'll tell you, that it was one of these things, but it's bizarre. You call this number and you just can't get a live person. I don't know why.
Maybe they're not alive, which corresponds to a movie that we need to talk about.
That's right.
Is it not?
Coincidentally, where they shot this movie, it's sort of our tour of
yeah.
Hollywood.
Insert the dun-dun-dun soundtrack exactly. Right here.
And it's Vacancy, the new, you say, Luke Wilson, snuff film, what could be better?
This isn't the interstate.
I took a shortcut.
To where?
How can I help you folks?
Do you know a garage?
Not this late. Meanwhile, I'm wide open here.
This looks like a real library of classics.
You turn that off. David? Movie stuff.
I don't know.
David, is that this room?
It sure looks like it.
God, leave us alone! Please, David, don't go out there.
Please stay here. We're gonna wind up like all of them.
Whoa, now Kevin, is that my future baby's mama, Kate Beckinsale, I heard in that trailer?
It was your future baby's mama, Luke Wilson, you heard in the trailer. That's who it was.
Man.
Or Frank Whaley.
Yeah, just screwed again.
Not a whole lot we can actually say about this movie because they didn't screen this movie for all critics. Apparently some critics.
Allegedly, there were a few critics.
I was invited to the New York screening, but I live in Ohio, so I couldn't go.
Yeah, always a tough drive.
And but this was one, and on principle, we have to trash this movie.
Yeah, we got it's an instant suck.
You don't screen it for the critics, we're going to suck your movie out because you're hiding something.
Exactly. I hope it only does $2 million at the box office.
Yeah, shame on
that's
them.
That's right.
Snuff films, Kate Beckinsale, you know, what could be better? But I have heard, though, you know, through the grapevine that there is some good stuff about this movie, though. I mean, it might be pretty good. It could be suspenseful. It could be scary. You never know. I've
heard through the grapevine that Kate Beckinsale keeps all her clothes on.
Yeah,
so
there's
that's
no...
Not, that's, no.
I'm hear no good. Through the grapevine that there is some boobs in this movie, but it's sort of like raping snuff film boobs, which... Yeah, you know.
That's like going to hostel and thinking porno. It's bad.
Yeah,
no
not
good.
Exactly. Let's move on to a bigger and better movie, Hot Fuzz.
Much bigger.
Everyone's anticipating this, the follow-up to Shaun of the Dead.
Sergeant Nicholas Angel, expert in hand-to-hand combat, armed response, and high-speed pursuit. He was so good, they reassigned him.
Right. Statistically, Sanford is the safest village in the country.
Now, this big city cop.
You ever fired two guns whilst jumping through the air?
No.
You ever fired one gun whilst jumping through the air?
No.
Must learn.
Is it true that there is a place in a man's head that if you shoot it, it will blow up?
Blow up the head, that's what I say. You know, I'll tell you, this was one of the movies I was looking forward to so much this year, and it did not disappoint. Hot Fuzz does for buddy cop movies what Shaun of the Dead did for zombie movies.
I'm right with you. This is, if you want to go out and see an intelligent comedy this year, and I'm not talking Blades of Glory. Yeah, Blades of Glory, very funny.
Norbit.
I'm talking intelligent, Ew. I'm talking intelligent. You see the joke. You think about the joke. You realize that it's very, very funny. This is the best intelligent comedy you're going to see. Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg are just fantastic. They're the subtle humor, you know, the names of the characters, Mr. Cocker, Mrs. Blower.
Yeah.
That's just fantastic. And normally you wouldn't pick up on that, but I do.
That's because your mind's in the gutter.
Yeah,
and I'm surprised I didn't pick up on that.
Right, oddly enough.
My mind's right there in the gutter with you.
Right, and anytime an old lady gets kicked in the face, which if you watch the trailer, we'll link to the trailer, that's the best part.
Well, and right I want to talk about the trailer real quick. What's so great about this movie is, in the trailer, it's you see all the stuff coming, and you got all these jokes in the trailer, and the trailer's hilarious. And then you go see the movie, and maybe for the first 20 minutes, you're like, okay, that's from the trailer, that's from the trailer. You're waiting for it to play out. But then it goes in a different direction, and they do more than just
what's in the trailer. Oh, it absolutely explodes.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And there's much more than what's in the trailer, and that's what makes a really good movie.
I agree.
You know, I can't wait for these guys to do another one in another couple years, because this one... They like idolize Point Break, and they idolize not Bad Boys 2, not Bad Boys 1,
Bad Boys 2. Yes.
And the fact that they can love on those movies and still make fun of them
is
just great.
A classic homage to Michael Bay at the end, where the camera spins around.
Absolutely. And helicopter shots and everything.
Oh, it's absolutely one of the best movies I've seen this year so far.
Yes. Yep. Well, we got to get going to break here. What else are we? We're going to be talking about the predictions coming up.
We're also going to do a little news.
A little bit of news and our David Arquette interview in a little bit.
Hey, this is David Arquette. I'm sitting here with the fat guys at the movies. Check them out.
Flowers lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette. But you kiss me just to feel like.
All right, and we're back. We're going to do a little box office predictions. We've got, three major releases and one limited release, which is Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz, for some reason they're doing it limited, which I think is silly. They're hoping for what happened with Borat.
I agree.
Which I think will happen, because it's going to have a lot of people going to the theaters. It's going to have a spiked, per theater account.
I agree. And really, I'm looking at Hot Fuzz to break into the top five.
It's not going to take the weekend. I think if they opened it in 3,000 theaters, it probably would have.
Yes.
Yep. But Shaun of the Dead was somewhat of a cultish film, so they're pulling back.
And I think your top five is going to be very similar. You're going to have Disturbia, you're going to have Blades of Glory. I think Meet the Robinsons will stick around. And I think the only one that will break in into the top is Vacancy.
I think Vacancy...
I think Fracture's not going to do it.
Vacancy has a chance at being number one. I mean, considering Disturbia, similar type of Hitchcockian movie... thrown in there, and it's a horror movie, it's before the summer season, you might have Vacancy pop to number one.
Yep, I still think Disturbia is gonna
Disturbia might.
It was a good movie. It's getting a lot of buzz. So let's run down a little bit of news, though, Kevin.
Okay.
We got some interesting, especially comic book-esque news. It was a great week for news. First, from firstshowing.net, our good friend Alex over there, Ed Norton has been cast as the Hulk.
As the Nazi Hulk.
As the Nazi Hulk, as you can see on filmschoolrejects.com, our sweet Photoshop. Thank you to Josh Martin.
If he's directed, he'll be good. If he's not directed, he's going to suck. Because when he's not given direction, he just sort of... Bleh.
Yep. Also from another a good friend, Peter, over at Slash Film, sent this over to me. Matthew Fox has recently, last couple days, been cast as Racer X in the upcoming Speed Racer film.
Suck.
He joins Christina Ricci and Emil Hirsch. So we'll see. I don't know. Matthew Fox hasn't been good in a movie yet. He's great in Lost, but every role...
He's okay in Lost, but he's not the reason I watch.
Right. And
I watch
for
Sawyer, because he's hot.
I got two more.
Real quick, let's do them.
First of all, Pirates... is clocking in at 3 hours. Over 3 hours,
really?
They're saying. So that's nasty. There's also a nasty rumor going around that
King
it's not
Kong.
Finished.
King Kong again.
Woo! But I can sit through Pirates. That's fun. And speaking of Pirates, Keira Knightley's in a new film called The Best Times of Our Lives. The only reason this is significant is there was a story on Cinematical where Lindsay Lohan has dropped out. The disappointing part for us, Kevin, is that there was supposed to be a scene where Lindsay and Keira make out.
But is Keira going to be naked in it? That's all I care.
Boobs, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen now, because Lindsay Lohan's not in there. Apparently she's got to be back in rehab.
She's never showed her boobs. Keira Knightley showed her boobs in The Hole when she was 16. So there.
Okay.
She is not against showing her boobs.
I've been told.
Boobs make a better movie.
All right, but that's all I got for news. So let's go to a little break here. We're going to come back. We'll do a little DVD action. Then we'll roll on into a little bit of David Arquette.
David Arquette, the Tripper.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the second half of Fat Guys at the Movies. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and we're joined by Brian Gibson.
Hello.
Our special guest in a cage with a chain around his neck. We've got this, we're going to be doing the DVD roundup.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, there was quite a bit of stuff coming out on DVD compared to, what was it, last week that we had like one, which was Bobby.
Yeah, seriously.
Which sucked. Was Brian one?
Apparently.
Did Brian like Bobby? Did you like Bobby?
No,
Brian?
I didn't like Bobby.
Bobby sucked.
I stand alone on that one.
Ass from beginning to end. Anyways, there was a ton of stuff coming out this week, but of course the one that I think was topping the list, because I'm a geek, and I'm a proud geek, Spider-Man 2.1, the extended cut of Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, right there, right in time to remind us that Spider-Man 3 is coming out in 2 weeks.
Spider-Man 3 is coming out?
In case you haven't marked your calendars yet.
I've never seen a poster for it, I haven't seen an ad for it anyway.
And absolutely no trailers.
No trailers whatsoever.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And I haven't seen Venom in the trailer. No, actually, I did. I did see that. And there was a little clip there on Film School Rejects about Venom
and flying
around in a black suit.
Yes, which we've also established that Kevin, if put in a black suit, can fly as well.
If you put me in the Venom suit,
you'll fly.
I would be as cool as
Topher Grace.
It'd
be a pretty
interesting
looking figure.
I wouldn't be one of those long slender spiders. I'd be like a Black Widow with a big fat ass. That would be me. But Spider-Man 2.1 has 8 minutes of extra footage. Of course, it's not action and all that kind of stuff. It's some more of the characterization. There's a hilarious scene with J.K. Simmons as J. Jonas Jameson that you just have to see to believe.
Doesn't he put on the spider suit?
Yeah, and he's jumping around his office. It's hilarious. What's also great about it, and I love when they do this with DVDs, they throw in a trivia track that's actually got interesting stuff in it and it's not stupid, like, you know, certain things from another studio I won't mention. But it also has, it breaks out some behind-the-scenes stuff, and it has a great commentary. And then, of course, on the second disc, you've got them talking about what they changed and how they changed it for this new release, as well as, you know, a preview of Spider-Man 3, of course. And I hear that they're making a third one.
Apparently.
So, yeah.
Allegedly.
But that's my pick.
All right, and my pick this week is a movie that I took a lot of flack for early in the year. I gave it an A. No one else gave it an A. Smoking Aces, which I thought it's a lot of fun, and the DVD release was very good. A lot of good behind the scenes, and if you catch the right retailer, you're gonna find a special edition with a deck of cards in it, which I'm a huge fan of cards. Of course, I'm gonna buy that for an extra $3 or whatever.
You are a sucker.
So I think a lot of people missed this one because it got kind of raked over the coals. But
I liked the movie. Actually,
it is a lot of fun, and I would definitely recommend. That's a good.
I wouldn't give it an A. Mine was sort of middle of the road. It had Alicia Keys was hot in this movie.
Oh yeah,
no boobs from her, but plenty of other boobs from the prostitutes in Vegas.
Yes,
there's plenty
and plenty of Jeremy Piven doing R.E. Gold on black.
Yes,
on crack.
The best part though, it was Jason Bateman.
Oh yeah, Jason Bateman steals the movie.
He was hilarious as the herpes infected lawyer.
Yeah, the worst part though is Ben Affleck's accent.
Yeah,
so if see it if for nothing else but to laugh at Ben Affleck and how terrible of an actor he is in this.
Come
movie.
On, I defend Affleck on this.
I like Affleck, but man, terrible.
So Smoking Aces and Brian,
hello, you pick
Brian?
For us?
Crawl out of your cage.
You know, I'm actually gonna have to pick two. I can't do one pick. I have to do two. That's how I roll. I'm going to have to say Last King of Scotland and Notes on a Scandal, two of my favorite Oscar-friendly flicks of the season.
Nice.
Yeah, I loved Forrest Whitaker. I didn't have much background on Idi Amin before the film. Kevin, you're like 50, 60, so you know him, right?
Yeah, exactly. I went to school with the man. We cannibalize people.
Money?
Then he'd buy people to eat them. Because he was a cannibal.
Yeah, well, the special guest strikes back.
And speaking of somebody else who's old that Kevin would know, Judi Dench.
Judi Dench. No boobs of Judi Dench in that movie, though.
Ooh. And I was so disappointed.
Because you know,
I thought that was going to be in the special features. I heard it was a deleted scene.
She is one hot lickety split. I'll tell you, she just... I would like to just, you know, lather her in baby oil and roll around with her in the cage.
Didn't Daniel Craig do that?
That's so you keep close to it.
We gotta move on. This is bad.
But in Last King of Scotland, on the nudity front, on the female nudity front, or behind, you do get to see Kerry Washington's caboose in this movie, and
which,
that's She's really nice.
Carrie Washington. She made our list of the top 10 nappy hoes of
Hollywood. It was
Film School Rejects. We have to lay claim to it if we post it. So.
Yeah, you know. The Don Imus moment.
The Don Imus tribute.
But no, she's a hottie.
I like it. Okay. All right. What else came out?
Well, if for those parents out there, if we haven't scared you off by now and you're listening to this still, and you haven't seen SpongeBob SquarePants Friend or Foe the 19,000 times it aired last week.
Nice.
The DVD is out already. This week. Friend or Foe with like 7 new episodes of SpongeBob.
They're getting quick, man.
If your kid hasn't TiVo'd every single episode yet, which my kid has. You also have Happy Days Season 2, Laverne and Shirley Season 2, Mork and Mindy Season 2. They're doing the whole trifecta.
Once again, all favorites from Kevin's generation. Brian and I have no idea what the hell those shows are.
Yeah, what was it? Laverne, the Foons? The Funs? The Funs!
Hey! We know that one.
That's right. You know, the people that don't understand John Hughes, shame on you. Well, we're going to leave you in this segment after we gave our DVD picks. We're going to give you a little tease of our David Arquette interview. Here's a trailer, a clip from his new movie, The Tripper, that he directed.
Every year, thousands of hippies journey to the Redwood Forest to the American Free Love Music Festival.
Where America's best and brightest come to celebrate.
Mom! Freedom?
Yes, beer! Anyone know where I could get some beer?
This is America!
Do whatever we please.
But this year, they will experience the ultimate buzzkill.
I told you yippies to stay out of the forest.
This April.
What is this place?
Mass grave.
No, no!
Forget the trees.
Look out!
Forget the planet. Save yourself.
Night puppies! Night puppies!
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. As you heard in the last segment, that was the trailer for The Tripper, directed by David Arquette. Now, we had a chance. The Fat Guys all sat down with David Arquette in a swanky tour bus.
Yeah.
Got a chance to chat with him with a couple other people there. You're going to hear them in a little bit. And we had a chance to talk with him a little bit about his new film. Just give us the real quick lowdown on the movie.
Yeah, well, it's a group of drugged-out hippies that go to an outdoor music festival in the Redwood Forest. And they get attacked and stalked by a killer that's obsessed with Ronald Reagan. So he dresses as Ronald Reagan. He's got a killer dog named Nancy. And, and you know, the hippies are gonna pay.
What inspired you on this movie?
I was at one of these concerts in Northern California in a place called Garberville, outside of Garberville, which is in the Emerald Triangle of Humboldt County. And I was sitting there and at this concert, and I was sitting there by the forest, and it just gotten dark, and you know, I was looking out and a little wasted, and I thought, man, it would be crazy if some killer came out of those woods and just started hacking all these hippies up. So that was like one of the germs. Another time was I saw a Ronald Reagan mask, and it was like, whoa, that is really creepy looking. And I get it, and then I put it on and like snuck behind some window and like popped out in front of my friends, and they were like, ah! So I knew it had scarability. And then I grew up with Reagan as the governor and then president, and I saw some of his policies that kind of had a direct effect on the world around me. So I came up with a reason why the killer's obsessed with him. That makes sense. But ultimately, it's about like a leader of the world. It's not really Reagan. It's just sort of the true leaders of our world, the people in power that sign pieces of paper that allow people to go, you know, blow each other's brains out. That, to me, is where the true psychopaths are and true killers.
Do you want people to take away a political message from this?
A little bit. You know, all in all, it's like a good slasher fun and like a lot of gore, like as far as over-the-top, campy kind of stuff.
Was directing and co-writing the horror movie itself something you always wanted to do?
Yeah, it was. You know, I love those films, and I loved the experience I had on screen. Watching Wes do his thing was amazing. But also, horror films in general are kind of easier to raise money for. They have a sort of more loyal fan base. they have a bigger, longer life on DVD. There's just, they make more sense for people to invest in. So that was part of the initial idea in also choosing that. You know, those in kids' films are like the two sort of bankable ones.
Did you go for all the, you know, the good old-fashioned horror stuff like sex, violence, nudity? Yes. Are the boobs in this movie?
That's what I got. That's the other, yeah, exactly. That's the other, there's not as many boobs as I wanted. I mean, I really tried to get the boobs, but like you said, there's like these, some nudity clauses. That's the other thing about horror films. You can exploit sex, violence, and rock and roll, and drugs more than you can in any other sort of format. And I tried.
Good.
I tried a lot. And that's where we're going. You know, it's such an awkward conversation. You know, I had it several times. I was like, listen, this is a horror film. You know, in horror films, you know, you're playing like the sexy chick. You have to like show your breasts. It's just, it's like a requirement. But there is a nice naked hippie at the beginning for both the men and the women. And then there's some party girls that, you know, flash once in a while.
Did you have any trouble with the movie or with rating or anything? Or?
No. I mean, I didn't have to cut anything to get an R. And I always wanted an R. I didn't want PG-13. But, you know, I showed it. The first time I showed it at Screamfest, Joel Silver was there. And he's a friend of ours. And he's sitting a couple seats down. As soon as the lights come up, I'm like, and Joel's like, wow, it's NC-17. You're never going to be able to show this to anybody. I was like, oh, you're such a buzzkill. But then I got an R, so I called him back. I was like, aha, I got an R. He's like, what did you have to cut out? I was like, nothing.
Where's the film's name come from?
Yeah, it's a play on the Gipper. You know, let's win one for the Gipper. The old sort of slogan was, let's kill one for the Tripper. And then, but then, it's also a play on the psychedelic aspects of the movie, the fact that they're like dropping acid and ecstasy and stuff, and just flipping out.
With Ronald Reagan as the villain, you know, in the Just Say No, do you get a cameo with Bill Clinton in the as the savior of everyone out?
Also, Reagan hated hippies.
Well, that was, I mean, Bill Clinton was one. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah,
you
know, oh yeah,
he'd
yeah.
be out there at the.
Oh
festival.
Right, exactly, exactly. Yeah, and not inhaling, I bet.
Exactly. Holding his breath the whole time.
Right, but yeah, yeah, he probably would have been out. But no, there's no other presidents in this version. But for the Tripper 2, it's called the Tripper 2: The Burning Bush, and it's got a like a Burning Man theme to it, and there's other. Other presidents involved. And zombies.
Zombies.
Zombies. Zombies. It has a zombie element.
And boobs.
And lots of zombie boobs. Which are the best kind.
I know this is going to be a really weird question, but I'm a huge horror fan.
Yeah.
What's your view on killing kids in the movies? Because you know how, like, seriously, like, I mean, like, you know, like, no. What was the movie, when a Stranger Calls?
Yeah.
You know, like in the original, the kids were dead.
Yeah.
You know? And in the new one, they're not. It's so politically correct.
Oh, I'd kill the kids. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I think it's scarier.
Yeah.
That the kids would be dead in that movie specifically.
You heard it here first. David Arquette is in favor of killing children. As is Brian Gibson, our ace in the hole, we like to say.
Yeah,
he's a cage.
And,
how dare you?
He's a caged animal.
Oddly enough, he's in favor of killing kids in movies. I mean, of course you have to put the disclaimer on there, but
whatever.
But a very fun interview with David Arquette. Surprisingly, well, not really surprisingly, because he's always seemed like kind of a zany character. Very laid back, very cool guy.
Yeah, I was expecting him to be like. Yeah, once you got him ramped up talking about stuff, he got energy. But otherwise, he was just sort of.
He was just
out.
Kind of a chill guy. Very little mellow. ADHD, but that's cool because we're all.
We had about 30 minutes of that interview that we had to trim down there to fit in the show because, you know, David did get a little bit distracted at some points. And but no, he was a great guy, and we don't have this clip in there, but. Brian did get him to quote his own movie, Ready to Rumble.
Which is one of Brian's favorites, right, Brian?
Yeah. Of all time.
They started to snuggle after the he quoted it, and it was kind of creepy and everything. But no, this I have to say, I am very curious to see this movie now. I don't think it's releasing in Columbus yet.
I'm not exactly sure where it's releasing.
I don't know how they're releasing it.
It's about, I think it's about 30 cities. You'll have to go to the Tripper's MySpace, which I'll make sure we put up a link.
It's myspace.com/thetrippermovie.
The Tripper movie, to list the cities.
And so, if you watch, what was it, episode 16, I think, you actually get to see me and Brian and
Brian
Neil's
and
arm. Whatever. Neil's arm. In one of the clips of his films. But no, David was a great guy. It looks like it's going to be kind of a fun movie. You know, he confirms there are boobs in it.
He did?
And there's seems to be a you know, good cast. Looks kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of one of those movies that an actor reaches out, gets all his friends, they make a movie that they want to make,
mm-hmm.
and those usually turn out pretty well.
We'll see if he gets to do that second movie, The Burning Bush, as he talked about
yes,
in the interview.
Yes, very, very I'm anticipating
with
it.
With zombies and all that good stuff. So
love it.
Could be a lot of fun, but you know, we wish David the best of luck, and we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to recap our reviews and give us a little preview of what's coming up next week.
And we're back for the last little segment of Fat Guys the Movies here. But before we get to what we're going to do next week, Kevin, I want to give a little shout-out. If you're in Columbus, one of the main events of the entire year for all the film critics here in Columbus.
Bigger than the Arnold Classic.
Bigger than the Arnold Classic.
Bigger than OSU football.
No. but on par with Greg Oden's announcement that he's going into the NBA, lame, okay. is the basketball player.
I don't follow basketball.
Oh,
I don't follow football.
We're going to get hate mail from some Buckeye fans
Kevin.
Buckeye, thank you.
A Buckeye star could come and sit on my lap, and I wouldn't know who it was.
Jeez.
I think it was odd.
Anyways, the event I'm talking about is the Columbus Alive Deep Focus Film Festival down at the Arena Grand downtown, the lovely Arena Grand.
The best theater in Columbus.
Brian and I had the pleasure of going to the opening night last night, Thursday night. And it's going to be going on all weekend, so make sure you stop by. There's playing some classic movies. I believe a John Hughes movie is somewhere in the mix. There are also
John
some
Hughes,
new ones.
Yeah, who do we say John Hughes?
That guy
ancient,
from the 80s.
That
right?
ancient filmmaker back with Cecil
yes,
B. DeMille.
But also Saturday, Friday night and Sunday night, they're playing Air Guitar Nation, which is supposed to be one of the funniest documentaries to come out of Sundance.
They're also showing Fido, which is a great, it's another ZomCom.
Yeah.
I saw it last weekend at the 24-hour science fiction marathon in Columbus. Absolutely hilarious.
Yep.
I'm actually really pleased with seeing where zombie movies are going now, because they're not just boring. They got interesting stuff happening.
Right. So if you're in Columbus, near Columbus, within driving distance, stop on out. Melissa Starker and all the guys over at Columbus Live do a fantastic job with the festival, so make sure you stop out. So that's a shameless plug. Now let's talk about next week, Kev.
Yes, next week we've got coming up The Invisible, which might be pretty good. Another, you know, thriller horror movie, but it looks like it's not just the run-of-the-mill crap that's been out. Next, Nicolas Cage.
Jessica Biel.
Even better, Jessica Biel.
There you go.
Probably no boobs in this, though. We could only hope. She's not against it.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk about it next week.
I'd hold. If she took off her shirt, I would hold it against me.
Absolutely.
I'd hold me against her. So.
Twice.
Yeah. Also, kicking it old school with my friend Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah, your good friend.
Say good friend. You know, I'm working my way through the Scream cast. You know, talking to Jamie Kennedy, talking to David Arquette.
Right.
Next, I'm gonna. I don't know. Nev Campbell. She's slumming it. What the hell is she?
Carmen Electra, wasn't she in Scream? Scary
no,
movie.
No, she was in Scary Movie.
Lame.
Although I wouldn't mind talking to her.
Yeah, either way.
Ohio girl, she's from Cincy.
All right.
And we also have The Condemned coming up, and we'll be speaking with Scott Wiper, the director, another Ohio transplant to L.A. You know, he grew up in Newark, directed The Condemned with a whole slew of wrestling guys.
Yeah, and Vinnie Jones, who I'm a big fan
Vinnie
of.
Jones.
Like Vinnie Jones.
That's right. And Scott's a great director. I mean, he's a great director of action movies. He's kind of underappreciated. He's better than Michael Bay, the hack. So let's do a quick recap on the movies. Well, you know, of course, there was In the Land of Women, which I saw and Neil did not. I kind of gave it a kind of sucked. But, you know, Neil has that Adam Brody fetish that he needs to.
I need to cure it. And also we had Fracture, which I said kind of sucks.
I said kind of sucked. And
Brian?
The Kid in the Hole.
Sucked.
Definitely sucks.
There was Vacancy, which we've all kind of given a de facto suck out of principle.
Yes.
Because they didn't screen it for the press.
And rounding out is Hot Fuzz, which I'm pretty sure we're mostly in agreement that this one rocked.
This one rocked.
Absolutely. So go out and see Hot Fuzz this week.
Email us, flame us, give us a call, and we will talk to you next week.
Adios.